you're turning in your Bible, particular word, first of all, God is going to help you develop the right self-worth in your life. You say, is he concerned about that for me, Perry? Yep, I really believe he is. I really believe this is utmost. Just as you are deeply concerned about your child, your son or your daughter, feeling good about who they are, about them feeling they are accomplishers and can do things, so the Father is extremely concerned about how you feel about yourself and the way you feel about being able to accomplish things in the world today. This particular passage of Scripture will help you see how concerned God is and what He'll do to answer your prayer. Number one, I think we must preface everything we expect to do by prayer, asking God to help us. And this scripture really helps you unleash the power of God in your life to accomplish whatever you want, whether it's a healthy self-image, a good family, a successful business, a relationship with other people. Here's the key to it. Here is a key that unlocks many doors in your life. It says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, "Now to him who by, in consequence of, the act of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams." What are you dreaming about? I can assure you that whatever you'll dream about, whatever you want, whatever you'll pray for, whatever you'll hope for, sincerely, earnestly, and I certainly hope that you've been motivated, and you certainly have, by the fine attendance that we've seen in this seminar, that you're wanting a healthy self-image. You're wanting to feel good about who you are. You're wanting to love yourself the way God wants you to love you, knowing that unless you love you, you'll be unable to love other people adequately. Dorothy Youngwire says that we cannot give away what we do not have. So there must be an adequate love for us if we're going to be able to give that love to somebody else. And God's helping us right now develop that kind of a feeling. He said that power that works within us, that Holy Spirit power. In fact, he talks about it quite a bit in the book of Ephesians. And he said it's that same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. He said it lives in you. And when you begin to think about that power and having that power unleashed in your life to accomplish whatever is planned for your life, you can be assured it's going to be accomplished. The word power here comes from the word dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. We often think of it as something that must be loud or make a lot of sound if it's going to be powerful, but that's not at all what the word dunamis implies. It simply means, in the original Greek, the ability to break through situations that man cannot break through, the ability to do things that man can never do in his own ability. God gives us that kind of ability in the time of need. And right now, when you're reaching out to develop a right self-worth in your own life, God is going to help you do it. He is concerned. You'll never be the effective soul winner God wants you to be until you first love you. You'll never be able to love the lost like Jesus wants you to love the lost until you first have developed the right love for your own self. How do we build a healthy self-image? If I was on national television today and only could offer one sentence, one suggestion to the world to develop a healthy self-image, these would be the words. Be yourself. Be you. Don't try to be anybody else. Be you. You know what? One of these days we're going to stand before the Lord. He'll never one time will he point a finger at you and say, why weren't you Sarah? Why weren't you Paul? Or why weren't you Abraham? He will look you dead center and say, why were you not you? God made you to be you. He didn't just make you to be you. He designed you to be a happy, healthy, prosperous, successful person in this world today. And if you can ever get that down in your spirit and know that that is God's will for your life and walk in the confidence that that is His will and His plan, you'll start being you. Often in counseling, when we say to somebody, be yourself today, start being you, I feel them cringe as I did the first time I heard those words. And I can almost hear them saying, Perry, Polly, I don't know who I am. And this is really true. It's sad, but it's really true. For many of us do not know who we are, because the only you and the only me most of us have ever seen has been a phony, plastic, conformist kind of an individual. And that's the kind of an individual that people have difficulty loving. Oh, when you discover who you are, when you start being you, the real you that God designed, not only are you going to love you, but everybody you meet are going to love you. See, it's the phony, conformist, plastic you and me that people have difficulty loving. This is where our problem is. Once we begin to be ourselves, once we begin to be the real person God designed us to be, we'll be happy. God designed the body to live without pressure, without stress. In fact, if you live under it, you'll have and develop all kinds of disease. You'll have all kinds of physical problems in your life. God never designed man to live under it. And as long as we're trying to be somebody else, we're going to live under pressure. The day you start being you, and not somebody else, or not a mixture of somebody else and somebody else, but just start being you, you'll start living a relaxed, peaceful, happy, healthy, prosperous life. That's God's will. That's God's plan. He wants that for you today. Begin today by being you. When you walk out the door tonight, say to yourself, say to your mate, from this day on, I'm going to be me. It will be a little frightening. It will cause you some concern, since most of us do not know the real person we are. But oh, if you could just accept those words tonight and determine you're going to be you, from now on you're going to be you, your world would turn around today. It would turn in a brand new direction, and your life would become more productive than you ever dreamed possible. Some people change hats 4 times every day. I did. Most of the years, as Polly and Gay and Susie and I pioneered churches in Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas, we found ourselves often purchasing property, doing the entire construction, and then building the local congregation. Involved doing an awful lot of things. So many of the years, well, I found myself involved in business, one kind or another, generally construction business. in order to provide a livelihood. I found myself one day being the parson, the next day being a builder, may have gotten in other businesses, and from time to time did, at one time in the real estate business, and in other times, of course, in the cattle business and other kinds of businesses. And so I had a hat for every one of them. When I met the people in the church, well, I put on the parson's hat. And then when I met the people in the real estate business, well, I put on the real estate hat. And then when I met the people in the construction business, well, I put on the construction cap. And then when I met the cattlemen that I was talking to and dealing with and learning from, well, I put on my cowboy hat. And that's the one I look best in. But one day, threw all of them out and changed them for Perry Cat's hat. I can tell you that most of the years of my life, I did not like me. I lived an inferior, frustrated, often depressed, and sometimes miserable life. But one day, when somebody suggested, Perry, why don't you just be you? Even though I was frightened that day, I said, if you believe that'll work, I'll try it. Most of the time, not all of the time, most of the time since that day, I've lived without frustration. Most of the time without experiencing the feelings and emotions of unpleasantness I one time did. Pressure was gone. Feelings of inferiority were dispelled. I can tell you today that I like me. I'm not super. I'm not great. I'm not better than anybody in the world. But I like me okay. And I believe when you begin to be able to say that about you, your life will suddenly become productive. You'll be more effective in every area of your entire life. Robert Schuller tells a story of a man 56 years old. He said, all of my life, I hated myself. He said, I never dared one time to be me. I didn't think I was good enough, so I've been a phony for over 50 years of my life. And then one day, he discovered who he was. He says the trouble with most people is that they are always trying to be somebody else. And when you get to thinking about it, that's really an impossibility. The only person that you can really be successfully every day, 24 hours of every day, is you. God made you a beautiful person. I believe I'm talking to winners tonight. Why, Perry? Well, I could just answer you in a very general term by saying God didn't make any losers. God didn't take time to make not one. There's 4.5 billion people living tonight. And of all of them, God didn't time to make one nobody. He made everybody somebody with great importance and with a plan for their life. Psalms 139, verse 16. Says that when he made us, he scheduled each day of our life. He said in the closing sentence, and every day was recorded in his book. That's the reason that every day, Polly and I say to the Lord, Lord, what did you write down today? I want to do that. I want to be that. And when I started doing that, my life suddenly went from to being fulfilled. It went from being to being relaxed. It went from being depressed to being enthusiastic and excited. That for every son, every daughter, every child of his today. To build a healthy self-image, make a list of your assets. Write them down. Greatest steps you'll ever begin to take in your life. Write down your assets. Make a list of your good qualities. Ask your friends to help you. Ask your husband. Ask your wife. Ask your children. Ask your neighbors. Ask your pastor. Ask anybody to help you with a list. Tell them you're making a list of your assets. And when you begin to list it, things like, I'm loyal. I'm a trustworthy person. I'm a true friend. I'm not critical. Especially after the last tape, we're not ever going to be critical again, are we? Never will we be critical again. Write down things like error. I'm understanding, thoughtful, and I'm available for service. When you literally begin to think about it, many people with all of these character traits would say, but I just can't do anything. What ability? What ability is locked up? Put these on a card and carry them in your purse or your billfold. When you're struggling, having kind of a down day, take them out. Look at them. I've got a list that's worn to a frazzle. But now and then, when I have a down day, I take out my billfold and I get out the little piece of paper that has a list of my assets. And when I begin to read it, I begin to say, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm on my side. I'm not against me. What am I talking about? And the first thing you know, I'm feeling better about me. I challenge you to do it. I dare you to do it. I'll go a step further. I double dog dare you to do it. It'll change the way you feel about you. And after all that has to happen, all that need ever happen in your life is for you to decide you're all right, that you are a fine person, that you are a good guy, that you are a sweet person. All you need to do is to change your mind about how you see yourself. Other people see you as being okay. The majority of the population of the world today feel themselves not to be okay, but see others as being okay. And so as the world views you, they see you as okay. All you need to do is even begin to see yourself like the majority of the people see you. That's the only thing that has to happen, is for you to suddenly believe in you. The day you do, it'll be an about face. You'll be going in a brand new direction with more of everything than you ever dreamed possible in your life. Your mind literally controls your body. Whatever you begin to put in your mind, did you know that the mind, I suppose the brain, the ability that God put inside the brain of an individual has got to be the most exciting creation God ever made. He put within it the ability, in the subconscious, he put within it the ability to change our total direction. All you need to do into your mind is put in thoughts like, I'm all right. I'm not a bad person. I may have done bad things. Everybody has, even to my own two daughters. But the fact that we do bad things does not make us a bad person. But often when we do bad things, we feel like we're a bad person. And each time you feel that, each time you say, I just can't remember. I'm always doing things bad. I never do anything right. Did you know that the subconscious does not know the difference in a thought that you put into it and an actual event in your life. It is a fact. The subconscious mind, which totally controls how you live, what you do, what you wore tonight, what you'll wear tomorrow, totally controlled by the subconscious mind. It is a robot, literally guiding, controlling, and directing your life. All you need to do is put good input into it. Start saying, I'm really a pretty good guy. I'm really an all right fella. I'm really an all right girl. I'm really not a bad person. I really am all right. And the subconscious records it and begins to respond to you as though you are that kind of a person. So really all that needs to happen is for you to begin to feel differently about who you are. How do you build a healthy self-image? An accomplishment list. Write them down on a card. If you did good in school, if you whipped the school bully, led the parade, if you made a good grade in a hard subject, put it on a card. When you're struggling, when you're thinking, I just can't do anything, get the card out. You can put it on another card that we talked about of your list of assets. And look at it. Listen, when you start reading things like, I was president of the Shakespearean Club. I was voted by all of my classmates to be the most likely person to succeed in the world. I was voted by all my classmates as the person they would choose to spend their life with in partnership. You know, when you start reading things like this, doesn't matter how you've been feeling, all of a sudden, you're going to start feeling okay about who you are. And everybody has done good things and accomplished some things. Now, one of the tragedies is that we often compare our worst performance to somebody else's best performance. Go to the doctor. Hear the doctor. And he spouts off a bunch of Latin words, and I lay you odds that this congregation of people and most of the people who will ever hear this tape could do exactly the same thing. If you studied Latin 14 years and then spoke it every day, you'd be able to do the same thing. But ask the doctor to change spark plugs in your automobile. He might not even know that your automobile has spark plugs. But see, what we do, we look at him and say, oh, that must be the brightest guy going. But he may not be able to do many things that you do. You see what we do? We take our worst and our poorest performances and compare them with somebody else's greatest abilities. Don't do that. You can do things the doctor will never be able to do, just as he'll be able to do things you'll never be able to do. Look at those things. Decide that you are an accomplisher, that you can do things very well. I would suggest for Gay that she write on her little card that when she was still a very little bitty girl, that she won the Pee Wee Golf Tournament. My goodness, you could forget things like that. But a dad will never forget it because I was the caddy. I'll never forget when I went with her to take the lessons. I'll never forget, Gay, when we stood on, that must have been on number 8 hole, and you were the only girl playing. There were several other guys, and the pro said, ladies first. Gay, that means you're on the tee. Gay said, oh, Daddy, I'm scared. And I said, darling, forget about everything. All I want you to do is just hit the ball. She stepped up, and with all of the professional ability that Gay has to hit a golf ball, and she laid into it straight down the middle with a slight hook to the left, which is the choice way to hit the drive. The guys stepped on the tee, and I remember some of them hit the ball twice before they ever caught up with where you were, Gay. Well, a few days later, when the tournament started for all the kids in the country club, Gay entered. And I said, and I get to be the caddy. I never forget, I could go into detail. I can remember all of the shots almost. We were coming into the hole, 17th hole, and the situation looked like that she was, they were just about tied. In fact, I think they were tied. And I'll never forget, Gay was laying about three shots, about 60 yards off of a five-par green. She said, "Daddy, what do I hit?" I said, "Take your 8-iron. You can make it. It'll go straight in the middle of the green." Gay selected the club, stepped up to it. I said, "Darling, forget everything. You've hit this shot 1,000 times from the tee box. All I want you to do now is just hit the ball." Gracefully and with all the poise, she hit the shot. It flew high into the air and pancaked in the middle of the green, and she put it out to win the hole. And we walked to the next green knowing we had it in the bag. At the end of the next hole, where she beat her teammate, they awarded her with a trophy. So Gay, if you ever have a down day, remember that trophy. Put that on your little card. And remember the day that you won. Oh, you need to do the same thing. You've won trophies, one kind or another, and it's extremely important that from time to time you remember that and you recall that and look back at it. See, when your mind is having difficulty believing that you're all right and you're okay and that you are a winner, you need literal proof that you can read. Hey, I'm really not bad at all. I've really accomplished some things in my life, and I can accomplish the task I'm now facing without any difficulty. All I have to do is see myself accomplishing it. See myself as a winner, and you immediately begin to do it. How do you build a healthy self-image? Begin to look everybody in the eye. Look first your own self in the eye, in the mirror. Then look children in the eye. It's the easiest thing in the world to look a little boy in the eye or a little girl in the eye. Often you need to get right down where they are so you can look them right straight in the eye. It's easier to do this because you may feel superior to a little child. So you start looking yourself, then children, and then others in the eye. And it'll not be long until you'll be able to look everyone right in the eye. And you'll be able to do that because you feel good about who you are. Matthew 19:19 says, "And love thy neighbor as thyself." I don't know how I missed it all those years. Gay, in all the years of teaching, speaking, all those years, somehow or other, I only heard the first words. I never heard the last two words, "as thyself." No wonder we have difficulty loving other people. No wonder I couldn't love my family like I wanted to. I loved them to the very best of my ability. I loved them with all I knew how to love them, but I could love them better today, and I do love them better today, simply because I love me more. I have the right feeling toward me most of the time. You'll never win in this area to a level that every moment of every day you'll be on top. But most of the time, you'll feel good about who you are. When you love you all right, when you have the right evaluation for who you are, then you'll be able to love other people adequately with the right kind of a love. That's extremely important today. And after all, with the great need of love today in our world, you'd have to say there just ain't enough to go around. Do you agree to that in this live audience? Not enough there. But when we begin to show it, we begin to share it, we begin to give it away, it starts coming back. They say a bell's not a bell till you ring it. And that's true. And a song's not a song till you sing it. And love is not love until you give it away. You got to give it away or it just ain't love. Want to build a healthy self-image? You need to wear your best clothes. Try. Need to wear the best clothes. I remember nearly a year ago, our home burned, and everybody responded immediately. Overnight, we had two mobile homes to live in. We had pots and pans. We had groceries. We had food. We had money. We had things happening. But most of my friends were shorter than I was. And so I was grateful for the things I got, and I'm still wearing them. But some of the pants were extremely short. Kind of like that. And they kept me warm, and then when I waded across the creek, I didn't have to roll my britches up. And I had some that were the right length. But those that weren't, I wore on the days when I was going to be out at the ranch and not too many people were going to see me. In fact, when we were writing this seminar this last summer, I remember getting up one day and I decided that nobody's going to see me today, and so I'm going to put on my short water-wading breeches. And so I put them on, and I also put on one of the shirts, and it was a little bit short. Nobody's going to see me. But the problem was that I saw me. And when I saw me, I didn't like what I saw. And I began to feel down, and I began to feel disturbed, and I began to not like me too much. Well, Gay had been to see us. And Gay said, "Daddy, we're going to town, and I'm going to buy you some britches that'll fit you." So we went down to S&Q Clothiers. And I never had bought very many clothes there in the last few years. And so we bought several. In fact, these trousers that I have on that fit very nice were one of the pants that Gay bought me. And so in a little bit, she said, "Dad, you don't have any jeans that really fit. And so I'm going to buy you some jeans." So we tried on some jeans, and they put on me a beautiful pair of Sedgefield. Now, if you buy this tape, and by all means you ought to, this tape will call them everything except Sedgefield. They're Sledgefield. And so all over the country, people are listening at this and say, "Hey, I got to get some of those Sledgefield jeans." Like, I don't know why Walt. You know, Walt does all the correcting and all the editing and takes that everything. But he leaves things like that in just so he can point at me every once in a while and say, "Perry, you really blew it, didn't you?" You know. Oh, so that day we were riding away on this. I said, "I'm pulling these things off." And so I pulled them off, and I went in and I got those Sedgefield jeans. 36/30. Wow. Boy, they're long and they're skinny like me. And I put on my best shirt, and immediately I liked me okay. So one of the things you can do is your good clothes. Wear the best thing you got to slop the hogs or to feed the pigs or to hoe corn but what you've got for that particular occasion. And so today, you know, I don't see others too often. Every once in a while I'm going to see a mirror, or I'm not going to see anybody else, I put on some of those short water-wading breeches and I make it through the day. All right. Teachers, that students are their all-time best on the day, picture-taking day. Would you tell them about that, darling?
I was really surprised when I learned that truth, that children, the teacher has less problems with them in the classroom and on the playground. They perform better, their grades are better that day, because they're having their picture taken. Now, really, it isn't because they're going to sit in front of a camera and have their picture taken, but normally they have on better clothes, something they really feel good in. They like themselves better that day, and so they behave better. After I read that, I thought, why don't mothers learn this truth? And then when school begins in September, instead of going down and buying the complete wardrobe for the next school year, why don't they buy something this month, something next month, and something the next month, and let the child feel good all year long? They would perform better. They would like themselves better. And probably would make better grades. You say, "Polly, that's foolish." Is it? How do you feel when you go to town with something you really enjoy wearing, or something new that you bought the day before or the week before, and you go to town that day? Don't you feel better than you if you put on something that was almost worn out, a little too short?
Yeah.
It has an effect on the way we perform. And so it also has an effect on the way our children perform. You might try it and see if your child behaves better having dressed a little better that day.
Right. Thank you, Polly. It's so vital. And surveys show, in a 6-year study of individual groups of male managers, that the well-dressed businessman earns an average of $4,000 a year more than the poorly dressed man, or the man who does not take as much pride in the way he actually dresses. They held better positions and were more excited about their work. The well-known showman Florence Ziegfeld once ordered a diamond bracelet at the cost of $250,000, $250,000, to wear around a showgirl's neck while she was performing. The people who were providing the funds said, "That's silly. Why don't you just use a rhinestone? Who will know the difference?" Ziegfeld said, "The girls will know the difference." It's extremely important what you wear. Extremely important what you put on. I think a suggestion that Polly and I had make, and one that we have begun to practice at a new level, is when you have things that don't fit you too good, or that you don't feel good in. They may be the finest of clothes, but you may not feel good in them. Give them away to somebody. And I've already told you my size, so it's an excellent thing. You not only are getting rid of something that you don't feel your best in, but you're helping somebody else. And whatever you might give to somebody else might be exactly what they'd like and would enjoy wearing an awfully lot. It's just an ideal thing, isn't it, darling? Really is.
After we learn that one of the reasons we don't give anything away is because we have a poor self-image, then to begin to develop a better self-image, start turning loose of those things that you've kept. It's real odd that so many of these things that we've learned, we're guilty of. And I can remember years ago, since I had to begin all over again collecting things, well, I don't have so many things to throw away. But there was a time when I didn't want to throw away anything. I'd pick up a bobby pin that we used to have on when we had bobby pins a lot that went in our hair, and I'd pick one up off the floor or somewhere, and I'd think, I don't need that anymore. And I think, oh, well, I might. Have you ever done that? Something else that in the back of your mind you knew that you would never use or that you would never wear. But here comes this thought, well, I might. I can remember putting things in the back of my closet that I know had I given them away that someone would have enjoyed them. But I might wear that someday. And so back in the back of the closet it would go. If you do not wear something at least 3 times in 1 year, give it away. Because chances are that's an item that will hang in the closet and deteriorate, or the moths will ruin it and you'll never wear it. Let someone else, as Perry said, enjoy it. Don't let it hang and be wasted. I think God frowns on our wasteful natures. Being good things that someone else could enjoy just hang because something inside of you says, I might. Make room for something else. You might be able to purchase something that you would enjoy, and someone else might enjoy what you don't enjoy wearing.
Excellent idea, Dolly. You girls go to the beauty shop, I'm assuming, about once a week. How many of you feel better when you can see it? Wow. All of the girls. Polly Baby goes every Friday. Unless we're on a tour somewhere, she shows up at the beauty shop about 9:30 every Friday morning. I don't know everything she does. In fact, I have tried to analyze it, and they really just rearrange a few hairs on her head. And she comes home. She feels better. She's motivated. And she feels better about the whole situation after going to the beauty shop. It matters in the way you feel about you when you begin to take care of yourself better. Keep the house nice. Keep the house looking good. Excellent way. Keep it looking nice, girls. You know, like you did when you first got married. There's one lady down home, bless her heart. She is such a poor housekeeper that Good Housekeeping canceled her subscription. But I don't think that's as bad as this other lady down home. She felt fastidious that if her husband got up at midnight to make a snack, by the time he got back to bed, she had the bed made. Now, I think that's going too far, girl. That's going a little too far. But I do think it's a healthy thing to keep it looking good. And girls, the way you dress, I think this is extremely important. It'll have an awful lot to do with your marriage. It'll have an awful lot to do with how often he takes you out to McDonald's or the Sheridan or wherever. In fact, it may make the difference whether you go to McDonald's or Sheridan. I hadn't thought of it, but... And so, in fact, if he's taking you to McDonald's, you can be sure you're doing some things wrong, I imagine. You know, so don't wear, you know, some girls will wear clippies in their hair all day, or the rollers. Nobody here do that. No, I know that. But you may know somebody. And the house coat all day long. You'd think they didn't own another dress. And old fuzzy house shoes. Oh, somebody's got one. I've seen them. It looked like they were alive. You know, you need to do something to them, you know. Oh, girls, you need to avoid them. You need to avoid them like a plague. And when he can't take you out, you know, when he can't take you to the Sheridan, and you realize that the finances are a little short, that's the time to prepare the special candlelight dinner at home for just the two of you. And then you light the candles and you fix all the goodies. Oh, you want your marriage to turn around? You want to start in a brand new direction? In fact, I believe if I could say one word about the marriage, I'd say to every couple today, and I've heard John Candler or Pam World say, Polly Perry, we're going on TV in a few moments, and there's 60,000 people out there listening, and what are you going to tell them about making their marriage work? I'd say, listen, Pam, people need to go back to courting each other just like they did before they got married. And one guy was in the office for counseling one day about a poor marriage, and I told him that. I said, listen, you got to go back to courting her just like you did before you got married. And he said, who ever heard of chasing the bus after you already caught it? So, girls, fix the kind of meal and set the table right once in a while, you know, and put it on right and dress the part. Now, I won't tell you exactly how to do it, but you might ask him how he'd like for you to dress. And I see some suggestions are being made already. And let it be that kind of an evening where you're enjoying each other and each other's company. You feel good about you. You'll feel good about who you are. You'll feel good about what you're doing. And most of all, you'll reinforce the marriage that you now know. If it's a good one, it'll be better. If it's a poor one, it'll be improved. You'll be glad. You'll never make a better investment in this world today than to invest time and energy to make your marriage a better one. Want to build a healthy self-image? Meet and get to know some important people. You'll feel good about it. If you already know important people, write them a letter. Call them. Be sincere. Only if you really feel this, if you feel like somebody in a political office is doing a good job, drop them a line. They'll respond immediately. You'll get a beautiful, warm letter asking for $100 along with it, you know, or more. And that's all right. If they're doing a good job, you ought to make a contribution toward it. I think one of the things God's really saying to the church today is get involved politically. All over the country today, churchmen, Christian men, are moving into places of leadership, strong leadership in the city, in the community where they live, and also into all levels of government today. And I think it's time that the church moved into this particular arena and began to be used of God. Want to build a healthy self-image? Select a project and do it. Do it. Help someone who can't help themselves. The scripture says in Matthew chapter verse 46 and 47, I'm reading from the King James Version, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So the scripture is saying that we are to go beyond that point. We're to go beyond that particular level of doing. Visit a mental hospital. I think one of the things that began to have such a bearing on my life several years ago, in fact, I was about 35 years old, and I decided to go back to college. I wanted to improve on what I was doing. I felt very inferior. In fact, going to school, and I'm going to recommend that to you. I'm going to recommend that if you're struggling with a poor self-image, take some courses that are related to what you're doing or what you want to do. If you're not doing now what you presently want to do, get some college hours. Take a vocational training. Take correspondent class. Go to school in the evenings. Don't overload your family with this responsibility, but do it. I don't know of anything that began to change the way I felt about me than going to college. After having been out of school for many years, around 15 years I've been out of school, at that time, a wife, two teenage daughters who were in school, and I decided to go to school. Had a growing business, a successful one, had a growing church, one of the largest in the community of that particular denomination, but yet I wanted to do more with my life, so I decided to go to school. Never did anything that made me feel better about who I was. In fact, I suppose it was in that year, 1957, that I began to pull out of the shell at a new level. I began to feel good about who I was. I began to accept me at a brand new level. I began to walk with my head higher. I began to look people in the eye. I began to be able to talk to people in all levels of life and feel comfortable with them and with who I was. Be selective in friends if you want to build a healthy self-image. Associate with people with high morals, who think and act positively. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You also must witness to all. But make your close friends people with high morals, with the highest ideals, positive people, people who are successful. When I say successful, please don't misinterpret what that means. There are many areas of life, and I feel to be successful, we must have our lives together in all areas. I feel like we must have our family life together. I feel like we must have our spiritual life together. I feel like we must have our economic life together in order to be a successful person. God is concerned about the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. It's extremely important we get a hold of that. Don't associate with negative people on a regular basis. You'll only have in an entire lifetime, and you're only capable of having about 7 close friends in a life. Don't try to spread yourself through many, 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 many people. Oh, it's good to have people that you like and people you enjoy, but close friends. Select these people very carefully. Be sure they're people with high ideals, who are people with positive minds. Also help your children select people in the same category of life. I must tell you, like it is, if you or your children associate with people who smoke, drink, use drugs, lie, cheat, steal, criticize, or immoral, or are profane, you or your children are more than likely going to become a part of some of this. It's extremely important that you guide them. Oh, you say, my kids, I don't make decisions for them. You know, we make decisions in most areas of life. You know, we never allowed the girls to make a decision about whether they were going to bathe or not, or whether they were going to brush their teeth or not. We never allowed them to make a decision about whether they were going to school or not. Consequently, we didn't allow them to make decisions about whether they went to church or not. That was the most important. I hear parents saying quite often, well, you know, I'm going to let them make their own choices. Yet they didn't in school. They didn't in taking a bath. They didn't in brushing their teeth. They didn't in most areas. But yet, when it comes to religion, the most important part of their life, they say, I'm going to leave that to him, or I'm going to let her make that particular choice. It's extremely dangerous when we begin to allow this to happen in our children's lives.